Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. So today we celebrate the Feast of Epiphany, which comes after we complete the 12 days of Christmas from the song. If you're on Facebook with me every day, I've been sharing a Christian meaning of all of the symbols of the 12 days of Christmas. The word Epiphany literally means to shine upon. And it's the season, not just a day, but this is a season when we hear about the ways Jesus, the light of the world, shines upon or makes himself known in the early stories of his life. While 12 days doesn't seem that long, it does seem that we have moved a long way past Christmas. Most of the decorations are down, and kids are back in school, and everyone's back to work. Christmas can seem a long time ago. W.H. Auden, in his great poem called "For the Time Being, a Christmas Oratorio," writes really poignantly about these days right after Christmas. Listen to a portion of this poem. "Well, so that is that. Now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into their cardboard boxes, some have got broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burnt, and the children got ready for school. There are enough leftovers to do warmed up for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted quite unsuccessfully to love all of our relatives, and in general grossly overestimated our powers. Once again, as in previous years, we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility. Once again, we have sent him away, begging, though, to remain his disobedient servant, the promising child who cannot keep his word for long. The Christmas feast is a fading memory, And already the mind begins to be vaguely aware of an unpleasant whiff of apprehension at the thought of Lent and Good Friday, which cannot, after all, now be very far off. In the meantime, there are bills to be paid, machines to keep in repair, irregular verbs to learn, the time being to redeem from insignificance. The happy morning is over, the night of agony still to come. The time is noon, when the spirit must practice his scales of rejoicing without even a hostile audience, and the soul endure a silence that is neither for nor against her faith that God's will be done, that in spite of her prayers, God will cheat no one, not even the world, of its triumph. I love that poem. We have traveled from the manger back to our ordinary lives. But Epiphany gives us another journey, that of the wise men, or the magi, to the Christ child. They are the ones who follow the star, actually, not the shepherds. The shepherds get the angel singing glory to God in the highest and are told to look for a baby. So if we're going to be liturgically precise in our decorations, we would change the angel on top of the tree to a star for today. Fitting that the star is the symbol for Epiphany, for the start of the season where Jesus shines. But while today we are only 13 days after Jesus' birth, it's likely that the Magi made their visit to the Holy Family 2 years after his birth, not while the family was still in the stable with the baby in the manger. And there are 3 clues to this in our reading. The first is that they arrived to see Jesus, and if you noticed, he was in a house, not lying in the manger where the shepherds found him. Secondly, the Magi find a child, not a baby. Jesus is called a baby in all the other parts of the story, but here he is now called a child. And then thirdly, Herod, in his fear of this newborn king, had all the boys who were under 2 years of age killed, and indicated that the Magi arrived well after Jesus had been born. I don't know that it really matters when the Magi show up, but I find it interesting to look closely at what the Bible says, especially about beloved and familiar texts. And it's nice to have an entire Sunday to shine some light on this important event that often gets overlooked as we go from Jesus' birth back into the ordinary days and Sundays of January. The Magi, and that is the word for them in Greek in the Bible, the Magi are foreigners from the East. And somewhere along the way, I don't know when they got referred to as wise men. That might be another thing to look at for next year. At any rate, they were Magi, and they were from the East, and they were definitely not Jewish. Because as they come to Jerusalem to ask for directions to find Jesus, they refer to him as the King of the Jews and indicate that they want to worship him. Well, Jews were waiting not for a king, Jews were waiting for the Messiah, which is how the Jewish scribes and leaders refer to him here and elsewhere. And also, Jews would never worship a king. They would never worship David or Solomon. They weren't, because Jews reserved worship for God and God alone, not for human beings. When you think about it, it makes sense that the Magi stop for directions. Imagine using the stars or even a single star as your only guide to make a long trip. It's no surprise then that since they are looking for the King of the Jews, that they should go to the Jewish holy city and ask where they might find him. So here come the Magi to Jerusalem, where Herod, a Jew, is the ruler. But he's a very bad ruler. it is said that it was better to be Herod's dog than his son, because he actually had two of his sons killed and his first wife. This is a very paranoid man. And now he gets wind that there are some magi following a star and looking for a new king of the Jews who's been recently born. So Herod, being a good Jew, a bad ruler, but an observant Jew, does all that good Jews would do. He consults the scriptures, which tell him Bethlehem. And so paranoid, conniving Herod sends the Magi on their way with instructions to return to him with this new king's exact location so that he could also worship this new king, which is our first clue to his devious plan, since we know that Jews don't worship kings. The Magi continue their journey. They find the child and his parents in the house in Bethlehem, and they offer their gifts. Really inappropriate gifts for a child, but appropriate and quite fitting for a king. And then, after meeting the Christ child, they become wise, and they return to their own country by another road. Well, the word for road here, however, is actually better translated as by another way. The early Christians were called the way, capital T, capital W, the way. So when we hear that the Magi returned by another way, we know that the Magi didn't just drop their gifts and return to life as usual. It's as if their lives are changed for having met Jesus. They are different. And so now they are on a new path. The Magi are important, and not just for the Christmas story, but to us and to our faith as well, because they clearly are not Jewish from another country. We are reminded that Jesus is for all people everywhere. It doesn't matter where you come from or where you've been. Christ came for you, and you will find him, and he will find you. It's a journey, though. We need to leave the manger, and not just leave it behind, pack it up, and put it away until the calendar calls us to reconsider Jesus again next year. Rather, we need to set out to take a few steps in a new direction. We would do well to leave Christmas and, like the Magi, not just follow a star, but to turn to the scriptures to seek and to find him. Because following your star alone won't get you to Jesus. You still will need to stop and ask for directions. And once you find Jesus, if you pause long enough to offer him your praise and your gifts, you will leave a different person, wiser perhaps, and he may even redirect your life. The journey of the Magi can be our journey as well. Now that Christmas is over, we will take down the greens and we'll put away all these decorations. They won't be here when you come back next week. And then the work of Christmas will begin. Are you different for having celebrated Christmas this year? Did you find Jesus amidst the chaos of the gifts and the errands and the parties? After all, God promised that when Jesus was born, we would know him, we would know God like never before. Because in him, there is wisdom and new life to be found. And you don't have to go very far. In fact, this morning, Jesus will be served to you right where you are sitting. I pray that as we move from Christmas through Epiphany, looking towards Lent and Good Friday and Easter, that you will know Jesus' presence and that you will believe that not only has God sent his Son to earth, but that God himself has come to you personally. look around. The blessings in your life, that's God at work. Tough times these days, God is there too. Not so sure? Stick around. Don't abandon the journey. You're on the right path. Now that Christmas is over, the work of Christmas begins, because God is at work fashioning in us to be bearers of the light that has come into the world, the light that the darkness neither understands nor overcomes. God is at work here, fashioning us into an epiphany people, people of the light, people who know that the joy and grace of Christmas is not a gift to be admired, but one which puts us to work for the sake of the world that God loves so much. Merry Christmas indeed. Amen.